Welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you with the people, issues, and topics that are important to you, and sometimes the groups. And today, we're going to focus on a group that you probably have heard about wherever you've lived in the United States, and certainly the same is true here in Colorado Springs. We're talking about the Chamber of Commerce, a group, an organization that you've been hearing about in, you know, TV shows from Leave It to Beaver all the way to, you know, now modern times. And this is the description that you find when you look into what a Chamber of Commerce is. It's a local organization of businesses whose goal is to further the interests of businesses. Business owners in towns and cities from these societies advocate on behalf of the business community. From the Colorado Springs Chamber of Commerce's own website, it says, "We know you work hard, but worry that your business lacks the right resources and network to grow. At the Chamber and EDC, we know running a business takes a long time, so we do the work to connect you to what you need, from special programming to being introduced to the right people and accessing the right resources and network to create a thriving business." So all of these descriptions, very on point. But get this, they were written before a pandemic became not just the stuff of movie thriller, you know, nightmare scenarios, but reality, a reality that has forced closures, reduction of capacity, has forced businesses to implement all new operations and modes of how their business model was supposed to work because of the, you know, the very serious nature of this health crisis that we're all confronting. So today here on The Extra, I'm joined and pleased to be joined by Rachel Beck, Vice President of Government Affairs for the Colorado Springs Chamber of Commerce and EDC, and Cecilia Harry, Chief Economic Development Officer for the Chamber. Rachel and Cecilia, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having us.
And Cecilia, let's start with you, because I just grabbed those descriptions from the website and various websites. And I'll tell you, you know, we all think we know what the Chamber does, but a lot of us might be very surprised to find out the depth and the lengths to which you go, your organization goes, to better the business climate here in our region, as do your, you know, sister chambers, I'm sure, all across the country. But tell us what the Chamber EDC does throughout our community.
Yes, I love that you pulled up some definitions from other websites, including our own. And I say, of course, the items on our website, but the other definitions you found absolutely ring true. However, we're not your grandparents' chamber. So what that looks like for a Chamber of Commerce years and decades ago looks very different today. Back in even the 70s, 80s, and earlier, the Chamber of Commerce played a very different sort of role when it came to networking and connecting. And as you know, these days we have a little friend named Google who really helps us find a lot of things and connect with a lot of people and businesses. So the Chamber of Commerce industry has had to adapt in terms of what that means to fulfill that mission for the businesses that it represents through its membership structure and through an economic development perspective of really trying to represent a region with a stronger economic climate. And so the way that we try to embody that and embrace that as the Colorado Springs Chamber and EDC is to really create a network where we are very closely connected to our business community, constantly listening to what is going well for them and what is a challenge for them, and then using technology tools and innovative ways to try to solve those problems, help businesses solve their problems, and then advocate for elements either at the local level, state level, beyond, that help enhance that business climate so that they can take care of what they need to with their business.
Because, I love that, you know, that you very succinctly described how that role has changed. Because a lot of people, I think, would think, well, that's the city of Colorado Springs or, you know, what have you, or city of Fountains. That's their role, is to attract economic development. But really, when you look at all the city services that city governments are required to provide, some by law, there really isn't a lot of leftover staffing to provide that, you know, that heavy load, the heavy burden of the work that's required to attract businesses to the area. And that's where it sounds like the Chamber and EDC come in.
Well, it's definitely a team sport, that's for sure. And we're really fortunate to have some great local partners. I won't be able to name everybody, but for sure, the City of Colorado Springs, the Economic Development Team at El Paso County, and Colorado Springs Utilities really work together to not only take care of existing businesses, but help future businesses taking a look at the region better understand how they could fit in and what services we would provide together to help them grow and thrive here. And so while the Chamber and EDC's team takes a leadership position for understanding the data for why we are a good fit for certain industries and making the business case from a data perspective why a company should consider locating here, we can't do it alone. And so while we are in an attraction project situation, we might be running the leadership position, but we have those partners at the table with us so that the business that's taking a look at the region can actually see the team ahead of time so that they know what they're getting into. And then we work together to really share how we work together to support a business once they come here. So it's really a great exercise in partnership, and we're happy to play our part, and we're so grateful that other partners important to our outcomes play theirs.
Right. And the Chamber itself is a membership organization. And how does that work for the members? I mean, what does, some membership to the Chamber bring you?
Yes. So we have this, larger mission of growing our business community and enhancing our business climate for our businesses. And with our membership services, that's for a business, whether it's small business or a major employer, to opt into enhanced benefits related to accessing resources, being able to interface with our team on a regular basis, access to our programming either at a reduced fee or without a fee. And those are just some examples of what we're able to provide. There's so much more on the membership side. And then with our economic development services, we really try to make sure that we're positioning that suite of services in a way that any business can access those, whether it's an entrepreneur looking at starting a new idea or, again, a well-established existing business. And the reason why we open our economic development services to anyone in the business community is because we need to have an inclusive business environment where everyone is working together to provide goods and services and ideas so that we have that stronger business climate, which does have a ripple effect for our members. And we also like to talk about how today's entrepreneur is tomorrow's chamber member. And so we really weave that inclusive economic development perspective along with our chamber membership model to really enhance impact for all the businesses in our community.
Right. And part of that extends to advocacy and advocacy, for instance, with the electorate when it comes to certain measures that may have a detrimental or a positive impact on the economy and on the business climate. We're going to be talking to Rachel Beck, Vice President of Government Affairs for the Chamber of Commerce, about that very subject. Coming up, we have to take a break for some messages. You're listening to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. And welcome back to The Extra, the show that gets you the information you need on a variety of community topics. And today we are talking to Cecilia and Rachel from the Chamber of Commerce, Rachel Beck and Cecilia Harry. And Cecilia, earlier, before we talked to Rachel, but earlier I was making kind of a reference to Leave It to Beaver, which sadly, I guess, tells you how old I am that I would remember Leave It to Beaver and how Ward Cleaver would go off to the chamber meetings. And that, that was probably my first, understanding that there was such a thing as the Chamber of Commerce. But do you get tired of people, thinking that's what the chamber is like even now?
Not at all. And don't worry, this millennial also remembers Leave It to Beaver, thanks to Syndicate. And so I remember that as well. And, not at all, because I think it's important to show that, like any other business, a Chamber of Commerce must evolve to understand the needs of the business community, which is evolving alongside with it. And so we like to have a lot of conversations internally at the Chamber and EDC, and then with our peers in the Chamber industry, what the Chamber of the future looks like, and that we will be best positioned to serve our existing businesses and future businesses if we're thinking ahead to what needs are out there or will be out there, what membership could or should look like in the future, and really just trying to anticipate how we can best position our Chamber and EDC to be that catalyst and convener and problem solver that businesses need today and tomorrow.
What a great word, catalyst. Catalyst. I mean, because it really is, like you said, Cecilia, adapt or go extinct, really. And part of that is, you know, adapting to various things that are happening with the electorate and how voters are deciding on certain measures that will have a real impact on our lives here in Colorado. Rachel Beck, Vice President of Government Affairs, I know we had you on the show prior to the election where you were laying out the Chamber's various stances and suggestions for voters who might want to, you know, you had done the analysis as to what it would do for the business climate, what the various measures would do, and you had some ideas and suggestions. How did it all turn out?
Hopefully I didn't make too many predictions. My crystal ball may have been off. You know, I think it's interesting, Shannon, to look at the results of Colorado's voting on issues in particular, and we can talk about candidates as well and how that turned out. But I think one of the themes that emerged that's interesting is Colorado's voters still seem to be kind of two minds when it comes to fiscal issues and taxation. So we were very pleased to see the passage of Amendment B, which repealed a 40-year-old, very complicated property tax formula that was actually in our state constitution. And the long and the short of it is
the Gallagher Amendment, right?
Yes, the Gallagher Amendment. And that resulted in businesses paying four times more property tax than the rest of us. And had it not been repealed, that would have gone up next year to five times more property tax. And so that's something that the business community has struggled with for decades in this state, and very pleased to see that voters understood the impact of that and gave businesses some much needed financial relief, especially right now as they're trying to adapt to and survive and recover from a pandemic and all of the effects that businesses have seen as a result of the pandemic. But on the other hand, we've seen also that voters have approved a reduction in our income tax. And then on the other hand, we saw them also approve the paid family and medical leave program, which is going to come at the cost of a pretty significant payroll tax increase that both employers and employees will have to pay. So it's interesting to look at our balance sheet now in Colorado and see where voters are saying they want to make increases or reductions in fiscal policy.
Do you think that, I mean, I know we had talked prior to the election, and certainly you laid out the economic, the economic impact of the Family Leave and Medical Act. Do you think that the voters, though, were getting that from the messaging that was going across on the airwaves, you know, through ads, as well as, you know, the actual wording of the measure itself?
No, I really don't. You nailed it, Shannon. That was a complicated one. The ballot language was very lengthy. And if you read it, it almost sounded like if you voted yes, you were just approving that workers could take time off for family-related
right.
and medical-related mm-hmm. reasons. And maybe halfway through the language, it made a reference to premium. And I'm not sure how many people are familiar really with what that term is. And that what it means is a payroll tax coming out of our paychecks. And as you also said, you know, we had a very crowded ballot in Colorado this year with some complicated questions on a variety of issues. And we saw just a ton of out-of-state money in this election promoting or opposing various measures. And this one received the most attention. So there were millions and millions of dollars from out of state that were promoting this measure, and we were outspent 10-1.
Mm. And who, I mean, I know it, you know, the way it's worded, it's to benefit the workers, but who outside of the work, because workers aren't the ones funding this kind of measure, who were the groups that were funding it that you know, right now obviously are celebrating a success, but you know, there's always a financial motive for some of these things. So who do you think was behind the bulk of it?
The bulk of the money came from two out-of-state foundations based on the East Coast. And, you know, it's part of their social agenda. We've seen this before in Colorado, and I think we'll see it again. And I'm hearing growing concern about the amount of money that's coming into our state to influence our elections and our policies from folks who don't live here. We've seen it in marijuana policy, healthcare policy, and again, I think we'll see that continue. Part of that is due to the fact that for a long time we had laws that made it very easy to get measures on the ballot that could change our constitution. We took some steps to make that a little bit more difficult and protect the constitution 2 years ago. And it made it a little harder to mess with the Constitution. But we also have a lot of swing voters here. And so we're just a lot of places around the country are seeing Colorado as a great place to come make policy experiments.
Mm. And, you know, we're the unfortunate guinea pigs if they don't work out well, because that measure that we've been talking about, that also creates an agency, right, or some sort of governmental division that, you know, so again, for those who are thinking that government in the state is too bloated and bureaucratic to begin with, you know, this just adds to it.
That's right. The state does not have a great track record when it comes to running programs like this. This particular proposal is bloated, and it's not going to be an efficient use of Coloradans' hard-earned money. Now, that said, you know, I've said to you before, and I'll say it again, no one understands the value of taking care of employees more than the employers who depend upon them every day to get the job done. And so this is not about the importance of family and medical leave. Certainly, we understand that. But the concern is a lot of Colorado businesses now are going to have to take a hard look at their benefits programs and decide what will need to change as a result of this program. And I'm not sure that the net outcome will be positive. I hope I'm wrong. And what's going to happen next is the legislature will have to create an implementation bill for this program, and we'll be there to try and help make that as best as it can be, and we'll try to make it solvent and make it work for businesses and for employees in the state.
Okay. Well, Rachel Beck, I'm going to keep you on. We'll talk to you right after the break, because I want to hear your take, the chamber's take, because Rachel is one of a multitude of government affairs specialists within the chambers throughout Colorado who do analyze what the business impacts of some of these big decisions that voters make are going to be. And so, Rachel, when we come back, we will talk about some of the elective leaders who are now going to be taking office and what changes that those might bring to businesses and the business climate here in Southern Colorado. That will be as the extra continues. We need to take a short break. We'll be back. You're listening to KRDO News Radio. And welcome back to The Extra, the show that connects you with the people, issues, and topics that are important to you. Today, I'm joined by Rachel Beck and Cecilia Harry of the Colorado Springs Chamber of Commerce and EDC. And Rachel, before the break, we were talking about some of these measures that did not go the chamber's way, at least the way that you had suggested that through your policy analysis might be detrimental, I guess, to the business climate that we have going on in Southern Colorado and the Pikes Peak region, as well as statewide. Tell us about your takes on some of the election results when it comes to elected officials.
Well, what's interesting, Shannon, is we didn't see a lot of changes in terms of big picture, you know, who is controlling the State House and Congress. We saw some seats change here or there. But generally speaking, the control remains the same. So at the state level, where we spend a lot of our time advocating for a strong business climate in the state, the Democrats retain control of the House and the Senate at the legislature. Most of the races in our community turned out no surprises. There were some incumbents who retained their seats, some folks in the House who have moved over to the Senate. We have a couple of new faces in some districts where folks were term limited, but overall, a lot of familiar faces. And I'll say we have a great delegation here in the Pikes Peak region representing us. A lot of smart people and a lot of hard workers. Southern Colorado is going to be represented in leadership at the state legislature, and so that's nice to see. Representative Tim Geithner is the minority leader, or the assistant minority leader, excuse me. And then in some folks from Pueblo are in leadership in both the House and the Senate. So we have great relationships with all those folks. They understand the importance of working with the business community to make sure that we have a strong business climate, that we're creating good jobs for the folks that live here. And they have always been very accessible to us. And if I may put in a plug, we're working right now on what our annual legislative roundtable will look like in December. This is one of our most popular events every year. What we've done in the past, we affectionately call it speed dating around the office, because we divide our participants up into small groups, and it's open to anybody in the community. And so we've got tables of 6 to 10 people, and then we have the members of our delegation spend about 15 minutes with each table and then move to the next. So everyone who comes to the event gets a chance to have a small group conversation with their representatives and senators. So rather than the typical panel format where maybe only a couple of people have time to talk or to ask questions, this really gives people some quality time and some more in-depth conversations. But of course, with the pandemic, we're figuring out how we move that to a format that will be safe and healthy for everybody. So we're still doing it, just figuring out what it's going to look like, and we'll have details soon on our website and in our newsletter for people who'd like to come talk about their needs with their legislators.
Right. That was a rueful laugh on my part. You know, I was thinking how great to get up close and personal with some of the decision makers. And, you know, that's the one thing that is being prescribed against, is to get up close and personal with folks, especially people who are not within your COVID circle. So I wish you luck. Please do keep us posted on how that's going to actually turn out and take shape and what format it's going to be in. But speaking of COVID, I mean, we knew that whomever was elected, not just to the nation's top job presidency, but also to the other jobs throughout the state, the biggest task right now is really confronting COVID, the impact of it, the health crisis, the business crisis that it has put us in. You know, are there going to be rescues for taxpayers, et cetera, et cetera? Cecilia, let's bring you in. The Regional Recovery Council is a partnership that the chamber is in. Tell us about that council.
Yes, so the Regional Recovery Council is coordinated and facilitated by Dirk Draper, our CEO at the Colorado Springs Chamber and EDC. But really, it's designed to be a collaborative effort across multidisciplinary perspectives in the region that are important to help navigate either an economic downturn, a natural or man-made disaster, that sort of thing. So really making sure that there's a group of leaders in place interfacing on a regular basis so that information can be deployed quickly and collaborative, coordinated responses can take place as quickly as possible as well. So we're really pleased and honored that the Chamber and EDC was able to stand this group up, but it isn't what it is without the various perspectives that actually make up the council. And that includes our leaders with public health, people with perspectives from community development and nonprofit associations, workforce and educational institutions, including K through 12, disaster preparedness and emergency response groups, the business community, advocacy, and then just a communication strategy to help get the good word out about anything that's taking place through partners in that group.
And as we're moving into, we moved as of Friday into a more restrictive phase of safer at home, which puts, again, another burden, a heavier burden on our area businesses. Some businesses altogether are being impacted in a very outsized way compared to other businesses. I'm thinking of like gyms, for instance, or movie theaters. I mean, a very difficult time for the business community, and certainly certain industries hit harder. What can this Regional Recovery Council do to, not lessen the impact, because the impact is there, but at least provide maybe some solutions, some way forward?
Right. I mean, there's so much that is going to be what it's going to be at this point, but there's also so much that we can influence in terms of anticipating what's coming and doing our best to position individuals to remain in the workforce, positioning families to continue to earn paychecks, positioning students across age groups to still try to achieve access to education, and then just helping businesses stay open and weather this as best as possible. So that's a lot of what we talk about at this point in time with the Regional Recovery Council. And some elements that have come out of that is really helping some key perspectives across disciplines understand the data that our public health leaders are putting out there. Whenever we meet, we review the dashboard that El Paso County leadership has put into place. And it's a free space to ask questions about what that means and what that makes the public health officials think about or work through or plan for next. And then it's a space for us as leaders to then talk about, okay, how do we best respond, or what message does need to get out there. So in recent days, with the recent uptick with restrictions going back to level orange over the weekend and that sort of thing, we've talked a lot recently about encouraging telecommuting. That's really important right now, and encouraging employers to evaluate their sick leave policy so that employees feel safer staying home or staying away from the workplace if they are experiencing symptoms, with hope that would help prevent the spread, and to really encourage the entire community to normalize mask wearing. For people that are working indoors, continuing to wear their mask, business leaders doing so, et cetera. And then just also really with this level orange situation, it was a hard weekend for our restaurants. So we partnered with other folks in the space, like Downtown Partnership, Small Business Development Center, to really get out the word about continuing to support our restaurants. They had purchased enough food to serve a capacity over the weekend that ended up being restricted because of going to level orange. And so really trying to get the word out to, especially this weekend, help restaurants get through their supply and ordering takeout when possible and that sort of thing. So those are just some of the things that we've been talking about recently and how we review the data about the trends related to the pandemic when we do get together.
Right, right. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, but when you are trying to adjust, I mean, restaurants can't adjust on a dime like that. I mean, they put in orders and they then are impacted when, their ability to serve all those people is changed. We're talking with Cecilia Harry, the Chief Economic Officer for the Chamber of Commerce of Colorado Springs and EDC, and Rachel Beck was on earlier, the Vice President of Government Affairs for the Chamber. We're going to continue our discussion, but we do need to take a break. We'll be back with more of The Extra. And welcome back to The Extra as we talk more with Cecilia Harry and Rachel Beck, both with the Chamber of Commerce and EDC of Colorado Springs. And Cecilia, yeah, it has been the impact on businesses. There will be books, if not entire encyclopedias, written about the impact of this pandemic on businesses and how businesses have had to pivot. But even then, very few businesses are able to thrive in such restrictive climates. There is a call to action that the Chamber has made. Tell us about that.
Right. So, you know, it's just so important right now, again, that we are paying attention to the data and working together to do what we can to support our business community. And again, this is important not just because maybe we have a favorite restaurant or a shop that we'd like to see open, or we really enjoy working for our employer that provides us with a paycheck, but at the end of the day, doing what we can together to help support the greater business community is going to help us weather this challenging economic time as a region as strongly and successfully as possible. And so that's why we're bundling resources and a call to action to really encourage people to be very mindful of what is being asked for us in terms of trying to prevent spread of the disease and making sure that we're working together to keep our businesses open and then safely frequenting our businesses when we are able to do so. And so you will see that there's already some Christmas decorations downtown. Yes, we know it's early, and I'm typically one of those people that can't believe, like, you know, Halloween's over and then, oh my gosh, here's the holiday music. But this year, it's so incredibly important. And so please be mindful. Again, please stay safe. Please follow what's being asked of us at this time in order to help mitigate the spread of COVID-19. But don't forget that we have so many small businesses that need you, especially right now, and how important it is that we all work together to support them and also just make good choices so that they can stay open and be there when we need them.
Right.
Shannon.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, Shannon, to interrupt. This is Rachel. I want to add one of the things that we're uniquely positioned to do and have been working hard to do at the Chamber and EDC for our businesses is to help policymakers understand how these regulations impact businesses and to bridge that. Sometimes there's a gap between businesses and health officials, and we're there to help make these regulations as much as we can work for our businesses. And Cecilia spoke earlier about the Regional Recovery Council, and one of the things that we've worked hard to do is to help them understand, you know, how this actually affects businesses day-to-day on the ground, and they know that that's not their area of expertise. So we're always open. Our doors are open to our businesses, our members, to hear what they need, as Cecilia said so eloquently at the top of the hour, and I just want to encourage businesses who are listening right now, please, it's more important than ever. Let us know how we can help with that, you know, how we can help intervene and facilitate. We've done that throughout this process to try and make those regulations continue to encourage safety, but also to help businesses continue to operate while being safe.
Okay, very important message there. And as we wrap up, we're about out of time, but Rachel Beck, any final thoughts as we, you know, close this chapter of our discussion about what the Chamber and EDC does, has been doing, is it plans to do?
Well, you know, as I said, we understand that businesses are very busy doing what they do best, which is innovating and growing their businesses, and we are there to be a resource to help them do that. We're there to do the things they don't have time to do, whether that's reading the latest executive order or analyzing a bill at the legislature and translating that, or going to our elected officials to make sure that they understand what the working conditions are and what we need to do to make them even better. So I'll just say again, all of us at the Chamber are very focused on what our businesses need. Please keep the lines of communication open with us.
Right. You will get a lot in rewards for participating in this organization. And when I'm talking about rewards, I'm talking about the resources, the network, all of that support that comes with being a member of the chamber and contributing to the discussion. Let's also bring in Cecilia Harry. Thank you so much for everything you've shared here. Certainly the call to action is something that I think businesses are hearing. Unfortunately, you know, whether it can do enough to curb what it sounds like, maybe even outside behavior, you know, meetings in private residences of groups of people, maybe fueling what we're seeing with the COVID numbers right now. And, you know, that's something I don't know that a business can do anything about. But again, why don't you reiterate your key points here, Cecilia?
Yes, and I just want to share, you know, as I sit here from my home desk away from the office, doing my part in telecommuting and really encouraging folks to do that as much as possible and for employers to help their employees do that when it makes sense for business. That's one way that we can all work together as well. And yeah, it's a challenge. I'm bummed that I had to change my Thanksgiving plans in order to comply with the expectation around two households for private gatherings. And so that's a bummer, but this too shall pass. And so just really encouraging individuals, families, businesses to look at the data and the public health guidelines. They're there to do their best to help prevent the spread here and just how important that is that we work together. So please telecommute. Make good choices when you do choose to go out in public and interact with people. And again, please don't forget our local businesses who need you, and please support them through takeout and shopping as restrictions allow. Everyone needs to play their part here, and hopefully we'll have a different conversation as we approach Thanksgiving next year, please.
Wouldn't that be great? All right. Cecilia and Rachel, my guests for today, thank you so much. You can find out more by going to the Chamber's website. It's Colorado Springs Chamber EDC.com. And also, I'm sure you can give them a call. The number to call, if I can find it somewhere, is 719-471-8183. Thank you so much to both my guests.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And you've been listening to The Extra on KRDO News Radio.